War between man and animal. The story happened in a republic. That morning, an official of the Republican government interviewed a representative. The man represented the residents in a village. He represented a horrible thing. Some horrible animals appeared in their village. The lizard was a representative of the reptile family. There was a degree of resemblance between them. They resembled in appearance, but not in character. This kind of animal resented human beings. They liked to kill and eat people. The local residents couldn't resist their attack. The worst was, they reproduced quickly, and they were resistant to poison. 5 people had been killed so far. The village head was reproached for his inability. He resigned because of shame. His resignation was immediately accepted. The representative required the government to help the residents. The man's representation influenced the official to investigate this affair. He earned a high reputation for his work efficiency. He made an urgent request for rescue. The government approved it, so the village's requirement was satisfied. Then the official reserved an airplane seat to the village. The man represented to him the risks he was running, but he insisted on going there on his own, even though his wife expressed reservations about his action. Once the official arrived at the village, he required all residents to leave their residences to safe places.
Start a business and safeguard it. Mr. Jackson ran a restaurant. Resources management was an important business skill. Mr. Jackson showed great resources in this field. He checked the employees' resumes carefully and gave each of them work according to his respective ability. He was so responsible that all the employees were respectful to him. But a fire burned his restaurant. As a result, the restaurant had to close down. The chief criminal was a retailer. Mr. Jackson hardly restrained his anger. Finally, he controlled it with great restraint. He advised a negotiation with his competitor, but the other side didn't respond. They made no response to his advice at all. Mr. Jackson was a man of great resolution. He resolved that nothing should hold him back. He was responsible for the benefit of his restaurant and his employees. It's his responsibility. Since the negotiation failed, Mr. Jackson resorted to law. He was resolute in facing the resultant lawsuit. As a result of his respectable efforts, Mr. Jackson won the lawsuit. Then he led his employees to restore the restaurant. Less than a month later, the restaurant resumed its service. Furthermore, Mr. Jackson had his plan with respect to its future. But before that, he needed to go to a health resort for a short rest because he had worked for several restless months. For the sake of his health, Mrs. Jackson restricted himself to 2 cigarettes a day.
Where is the oppression? Where is the revolt? 20 years ago, in this country, the government's revenue was made up of the high taxes. The people revolted against their oppressors because they wanted to retain their rights. Every revolutionary wore a red ribbon on his army cap, which made him a little ridiculous. Mr. King was one of them. He was very rigid in his ideas. Once he made up his mind, he became an out-and-out revolutionary. The revolution lasted 2 years. At the beginning of it, the people had to retreat when they were beaten in battle. They marched along the mountain ridges to get rid of Chase. Mr. King was appointed captain of a company of rifles. He swore he would revenge those dead comrades. His oath revealed his resolution. The second year, the situation reversed. The people's army prevailed. Mr. King broke a rib in a battle. In return, the people's government rewarded him a medal. Mr. King retired at the age of 60. He reviewed his past and wrote a book. He revised the manuscript of his book before sending it to the publisher. Next, his interest in music and science had revived. He enjoyed Tingo Rhythm very much, and also he wanted to know why the Earth revolves around the Sun. It was still a riddle to him.
Roman Romance. I am telling you a romance about romantic Romans. When two young people saw each other for the first time, love had taken root in their hearts. But the girl's parents opposed this. They wanted her to marry with the man's rival in love, a rich robot. The parents' oppression gave rise to their revolt. One night they dated as usual. The man put a rose on the rim of the girl's hat. Then he showed her a wedding ring. They agreed to elope the next night because the time was ripe. The rose and the ring played a role in the girl's decision. The next evening, the telephone rang. The girl spoke a while, then rang off. After midnight, the wind roared at the windows. The girl put on a robe, then left from the roof of the restroom. The house dog rolled on the garden. She gave it a meat roll so it forgot to bark. The next 2 days, the two young people rolled on the sea. The sun roasted them, but they felt excited and happy. They were ready for any risks on the road. On the third day, they reached a town. There had been several robberies lately. When they were worrying about it, the robbers appeared. Each one had a rod in his hand. To frighten them, the man sent a distress rocket. It did work. The robbers fled away. The two young people laughed. The adventure had ripened their love.
Ceaseless Assassination. The yearly dress parade began. The Royal Army paraded through the roundabout. There were people all around. They stood in a long row along the route. The Premier waved to people in his car. They gave him a right royal welcome. Suddenly, a bang was heard. The Premier was shot. The police caught hold of the assassin and tied him with a piece of rope. Then the Vice Premier was requested to inform the Premier's wife of the news. It was a matter of routine. The Vice Premier rowed the boat across a lake first, then took a car. The rough road made the car vibrate. When he arrived at the Premier's home, a gardener was mowing with a rotary lawnmower, and a cleaner was cleaning some rotten rubbish. The Vice Premier pressed the doorbell. The Premier's wife was roused. She let him in. The Vice Premier rotated the door handle gently to come in. He rubbed his hands to think how to tell her the bad news. Finally, in a roundabout way, he told her the tragedy roughly. The woman listened to him quietly. She rubbed out some pencil marks on a paper with a rubber unconsciously. Her hands were trembling. She and her husband loved each other very much. They never had Rose. The poor woman was immersed in great pain.
Court destruction. I visited a Russian-style castle yesterday. It now lay in ruins. In 1935, Low ran for president. He didn't expect to run into many of his enemies. They ran off thousands of handouts against him. But still, Low defeated all of them and became the new ruler. Some men of insight thought that in the long run he would destroy the country. Low was a rude and ruthless ruler. As a rule, the ruler should run over many documents, then make comments every day. But he did nothing. Instead of work, he was interested in collecting rubies and fur rugs. The whole country was in disorder. The flood ran over the riverbank and caused casualties. In the past, the rural life was healthful and quiet. But now, the farm tools were left in the fields to rust. The police were busy with running down escaped prisoners. Low's wicked cruelty led ultimately to his ruin. About his death, all sorts of rumors went around. One story was that he ran out of petrol and his car was run down by a big lorry. Another story was that he lost control of his car and ran into a tree. The third one was that a train ran over him as he was crossing the line.
Courtesy demands reciprocity. Richard used to be a sailor. Later, he was a salesman in a restaurant. Tomato salad and sandwich were on sale in the restaurant. Richard worked very hard, but his boss disliked him all the same. His boss was very hard to satisfy. His words were full of satire. He often threatened to sack Richard. Richard stayed in the restaurant only for the sake of the salary. One day, a famous saint was invited to visit their restaurant. The restaurant took all possible safety precautions. As a safeguard, some bodyguards were hired to keep order. In the afternoon, the saint appeared. He was about the same age as Richard's father. After many hours in the saddle, he was very weary. The boss saluted him by raising his hat. The saint sat down. Richard put the cup on the saucer and placed the sauce boat well. Then he stood beside the table. He considered it a sacred duty to serve the saint. The saint sampled the food and found it satisfactory. After a big meal, the saint expressed his satisfaction. The boss offered him a sack of dainties as sacrifice. In return, the saint gave the boss a piece of so-called satellite fragment.
Professed love of savages. A scholar was famous for his research on savages living in caves. He professed he loved them. He won a scholarship for his research. He kept his savings in the bank. The scholar's book was appraised a fine piece of scholarship. The printing office printed his book on a large scale. His readers were scattered all over the country. The scholar scheduled a meeting next Thursday. He thought he could complete his lecture ahead of schedule. The scholar was scanty with words, so some of his colleagues disliked him. He didn't know they were scheming his downfall. They worked at a scheme. That afternoon, the scholar put on a woolen scarf and went home. He scanned the newspaper when he was waiting for the bus. The bus arrived on schedule. The scholar got on it. The sunset made a beautiful scene. He enjoyed the scenery. At the gate of the yard, the scholar smelt some sausage scent. He thought it was his wife cooking. To his great surprise, a very tall savage was sawing a tree in his yard. The scholar was scared. He scarcely believed his eyes. The savage walked towards him and caught hold of his left arm. The scholar broke loose and ran out of the yard quickly. But he had a scar on his arm since then, and he never said he loved savages anymore.
Inhuman teachers. Stephen's father was an ordinary seaman who worked at a seaport. Winter was the only season he stayed at home. But Stephen imagined his father was a scout, scouting around to look for rare seals. Stephen was a secondary school student. He liked all kinds of scientific research and wanted to be a scientist. But he didn't like the schooling, and his scores were low. His teachers often scolded his ideas. They never answered his questions beyond the scope of his book. For example, they didn't explain to him why pictures could be shown on a screen. They only poured scorn on him. One day, Stephen repaired a second-hand bicycle with a pair of scissors. One of the screws was loose. He decided to start his work from scratch. Just then, a teacher passed by. She said, "You ought to scrap this one to buy a new one." Stephen replied, "No, I won't." The teacher was angry, and she scratched him with the scissors. The boy screamed with pain. The seam of his shirt ripped, and he suffered quite a few cuts and scrapes. Stephen scraped through a fence and ran to the seaside. Some seagulls walked on the beach. He threw scraps of bread to them. After Stephen's father knew it, he sent a firmly sealed letter to the schoolmaster. He explained that all other considerations were secondary to his son's safety. But the schoolmaster screened the teacher, so Stephen's father sued the school.
Bureaucrats shield businessmen. A company dominated the seed market. A woman was senior to everyone else in the company because she had a relationship with a senator of the Senate who worked in an important government section. On the surface, the woman was the senator's secretary. In secret, she was his lover. In a sense, the woman gave him a sensation of passion. He couldn't fool her. She saw through him. The selfish senator made his selections money and beauty. He had never sought to hide this. Under his control, custom officers never seized the company's smuggled goods. The senator seldom worried about anything until one day a prosecutor visited him. After he left, the senator sent for the woman to seek advice from her. The woman guaranteed his security. She would see to his affairs. Her words made sense, and he felt secure. The next day, the woman went to the airport to see the senator off. But a segment of the airstrip had been closed. The police seized them. In prison, the senator sent in a report acknowledging his guilt. The news created a great sensation. The senator's innocent son was shocked. He was a senior student in a university, and his major was semiconductor project. The students were often asked to draw different tools in section. This semester would his last one. He liked to enter all kinds of seminars. His sunny life had gone since he heard of the news.
Redress a mishandled case. Mr. Martin set up a small company that sold many kinds of sensors. His wife set him up in his business. But one day, Mr. Martin was charged with serious defalcation. A judge dealt with cases in time sequence. The witnesses appeared in court in sequence. After a series of legal procedure, Mr. Martin was sentenced to 3 years in prison. The sentence didn't separate the family. The sensible husband comforted his families. His sentimental wife and his sensitive daughter still believed his innocence. And a servant who served the family faithfully for 10 years stayed with them too. Mr. Martin decided to appeal. The wife set off immediately to see a famous lawyer. When she arrived at his office, the lawyer was presiding over a session. The woman set down her bag and set forth her purpose in coming. Her words set the lawyer off thinking a while. Then he accepted the case, and they set out to the prison. Soon the lawyer set out to do documents. He set about collecting evidences. He filled in the blanks in the sentences to set aside the useful ones. And also he set down every sensible doubtful point. The second trial was set back half an hour. Evidences were set out in front of the jury. An important letter served the lawyer as evidence. It pointed out the real criminal was Mr. Martin's partner. The judge set aside the decision of the lower court. The real criminal was arrested, which served him right.
Survivor Game. 16 people, Team A and Team B, entered Survivor Game. Their bodies were in shape. Two teams faced severe tests. The first thing they needed to do was to check the geographical setting and settle down. Team A looked for a shady place where some trees could give shade. Thus, they could sit in the shadow when the sun shed strong light and heat. They sheared some branches from the trees, then built a shed. Soon a shed took shape. Though it was strong, it still would shake when elephants went by. The team members shared materials with each other. Team A's leader was very severe. When anyone felt sad, he would say, "There is no point in shedding tears." But after the settlement of their differences, they became friends. He taught them how to make setting with shafts. He led the team to avoid dangerous shallows. It was very sharp of him to see a shedding snake and warn the others. The snake's teeth were as sharp as a shark's. A member helped him to shave his head bald because he wanted to save some shampoo. Another one helped to sew the button onto his shirt. Team B was not so lucky. There was a woman who had a rather shallow personality. She had no shame of her sham and shameful words. Team A defeated Team B in the first test. As a shady member of Team B, that woman was eliminated before the next test.
A narrow escape from danger. A shepherd's name was Thomas, but he was called Tom for short. For this exciting sale, he spent all his shillings. He placed many beautiful shells on a shelf. He found them on the shore. But soon the ship encountered pirates. They shot at the ship. Tom used the shield to protect him from injury. The ship tried its best to flee away successfully. Then a sudden shift in the wind warned of the coming storm. The rain came down in sheets. Tom couldn't find a shelter. He covered himself with a sheet. He shivered from the cold. After the rain, the sun shined again, but the ship ran aground. The fresh water was running short, and there was a shortage of food, too. Tom would not await his doom. He and other five people took a boat and went away, trying to find their way out. It was a sheer gamble. They rowed the boat in two ships. 2 days later, they saw a sheer cliff. The land. They took a shortcut to go on shore. Later, they were shocked to hear the news of the shipwreck of their ship. They were lucky to evade it, but one of them, a shopkeeper, was sad. He lost his shipment. The mayor cut short his meeting when he knew these people's survival. The reporters gathered material report from Tom. They prepared to take down what he would say in shorthand, but Tom was too shy to say anything. That's his shortcoming. Finally, he broke silence. In short, we had a narrow escape from danger.
A pleasant surprise. Mr. Nathan worked in a bookstore on the side. He was sick of working too much, but he must shoulder his responsibilities. That night after work, Mr. Nathan caught sight of his son. The boy ran forward with a happy shout. "Follow me, Dad. Let's do some sightseeing. I will shortly let you know where we go." "It is going to rain, my child. My shirt will shrink when it is wet." "It's only a shower. Besides, we can take a shower after we go home." Mr. Nathan sighed, then followed his son. They walked on the sidewalk side by side. Then they walked sideways through a narrow passage. Suddenly, the boy gave a shriek of delight. A bird was in sight. The boy waved until it was out of sight. Next, they came to a bar that had a wooden shutter. At first sight, it was very usual as others. A red flag was placed there as a sign. Mr. Nathan shrank. He said to his son shortly, "Your mom won't let me drink." "Shut out all bad thoughts from your mind, Dad. Let's go." A waiter showed them in. The bright light showed up the people inside. Mr. Nathan saw his wife smiling at him. "You showed up." The son cried out, "Happy marriage anniversary." Mr. Nathan pretended to be angry. "Don't show off." The boy adjusted the camera shutter, then took a photo for his parents. To appreciate the shrewd son, Mr. Nathan ordered an ice cream on the side. He signed the bill.
Righteousness above friendship. The simplicity of the following story makes it suitable for anyone. Walter and Tony had been good friends ever since they met at school. There was much similarity on their appearance. They worked in the same company. Walter believed in Tony with childlike simplicity until today. When he was washing dishes in the sink, Tony asked him to sit for a conference. He had liked Walter to sit in. From last year till now, Tony simplified the working process to save silicon, silk, and silver. Then he sold them secretly. Tomorrow he would leave by airplane. Before he left, he would explode the factory. The explosion was timed to be simultaneous with the planes taking off. "I would be a singular businessman," Tony said. Walter's heart sank when he heard Tony's sins. Now Tony needed Walter to simulate the boss's signature. He lured Walter with money. but money had no significance for Walter. He signified his rejection with silence. On the contrary, he wanted to stop Tony's silly action. Walter was completely sincere in what he said. His sincerity was evident in every word, but Tony refused him with anger. That night, Walter sat up until midnight. At last, he signaled urgently to the police. A police car raced along with its sirens wailing. Walter's actions were significant. The police arrested Tony and stopped his crime. The noun action is singular. It is the singular form of actions.
Avalanche. Abe was a medical student. He was studying the structure skeleton. Abe's elder sister, Fanny, was studying history. She was interested in slave and slavery. Fanny was a pretty and slender girl. Her skin was beautiful. She wore skirt of number 11 size. To keep slim, she only had a slice of bread for her breakfast. She was too slight to play basketball, but she was skilled enough in French to translate a novel. One Sunday morning, the sister and the brother watched some slides together in the sitting room. After that, Abe rolled up his sleeves and worked on a sketch of his sister. He was skillful at sketching. Suddenly, Abe suggested to go skiing. He preferred skating better. It's fun to slide on the ice. But last year, he slipped and hurt his leg when he skated. Fanny slapped him on the back and said, "Yes." Both of them disliked skyscrapers. They decided to skirt around the town center. The ski slope was situated just outside the town. Winter was the slack season at most hotels except here. The two young people were skiing happily when they heard a slight voice become louder and louder. Avalanche! The situation was dangerous. Fortunately, they hid themselves in a cave in time. They only had a slender hope in their hearts. Rescue workers rushed to the site. A policeman wrote the skeleton of the rescue report. He was careful not to make any slip in his report. Finally, Abe and Fanny were rescued.